Hello, class. I'm reading to you from my study in the middle of the rain from Hurricane Helene, so I apologize if you can hear the raindrops. This is the 29th of September, and our topic for this lesson is fashioning gods to our own liking. And we'll be covering three paragraphs, paragraph 16.25, 16.26, and 17.27. Starting with 16.25, "But woe to you, torrent of human custom, who can resist you? When will you run dry? How long will you drag the sons of Eve down to that vast and dreadful sea, which even those who cling to wood can barely cross? Did I not read in you of Jupiter, the thunderer and adulterer? He surely could not have been both, but was presented as such, so that a fictitious thunder might mimic and pander to real adultery. For who among our robed orators would lend a sober ear to a colleague from his own form crying out, 'These are Homer's inventions, transferring human qualities to the gods. How much better if Homer had transferred divine qualities to us?' It would have been truer to say that these are indeed Homer's inventions, but that he is attributing a divine nature to dissolute men, so that their shameful acts will no longer be shameful, and that those who commit them are seen to be imitating not fallen men, but celestial gods." Now, when you read this paragraph, you're reminded of Paul's letter to the Romans, where Paul describes how men, in their desire to sin, create gods in their own likeness in order to feel as if their sinfulness is not a bad thing, but a good thing. They're imitating the gods. And that's exactly the point that Augustine is hammering home here. Jupiter was the king of the Roman deities. He was basically a transference of Zeus from the Greek mythology. And Jupiter was the god of sky and thunder. And through Augustine, we're understanding that the Romans saw the lightning and thunder as the sudden feeling that you would feel when you were, attracted to somebody, when you saw somebody in your heart, leapt because you were attracted to that person. The feeling of having your breath taken away, that feeling was apparently attributed to Jupiter. And as Augustine is analyzing how men seek to sin and then create gods that can then allow them to feel as if their pursuit of sin is a good thing, he looks at Jupiter and he says, "These are indeed Homer's inventions, but that he is attributing a divine nature to dissolute men, so that their shameful acts will no longer be shameful, and that those who commit them are seen to be imitating not fallen men, but celestial gods." He's going to flesh this out in the next paragraph with an example, and I'm going to have to give a little bit of background at the end of it, so just bear with me. Paragraph 16.26. "And yet, O infernal torrent, it is into you that the sons of men are cast, along with the fees for their students, in order for them to learn all that is worthless. And it is given great importance when publicly in the forum, within sight of the inscriptions of the laws decreeing the tutors' salaries from public funds, the pupils' extra fees for their tutors are decreed. Infernal torrent, you lash at your rocks and you roar. This is why words are learnt. This is why eloquence is acquired, the eloquence so vital to inducing others to do one's will and implement one's purpose. It is as if we would not have known expressions such as shower of gold, lap, deceiving, temples of heaven, had not Terence in his play brought a lewd young man onto the stage who takes Jupiter as his model for debauchery as he gazes at a mural that shows the god sending forth, as in the legend, a shower of gold into Danae's lap, and so deceiving the woman. And look how the young man is enticed to wanton lust through celestial guidance. Such a great god, he says. He rocks the temples of heaven with his thunder. And I, little man that I am, should not I do as he did? I did so, and with pleasure. Words are certainly not learnt more easily with the help of such vileness, but through such words, vileness is committed with greater confidence. I do not reproach the words, for they're precious, and they are exquisite chalices, but I reproach the wine of error that was offered in these chalices by drunken tutors. As if we did not drink this wine of error, we were beaten, and had no sober judge to whom we could appeal. And yet, my God, before whom I now recall this without fear, I learned all this readily, and wretch that I was, I delighted in what I was learning, and was called a boy of great promise. Well, that's a sad thought, isn't it? He's thinking back on his youth and how he loved to learn this. Of course, he was learning, and this is the quote, apparently, that was written on the forum for, you know, this type of learning. This is why words are learned. This is why eloquence is acquired, the eloquence so vital to inducing others to do one's will and implement one's purpose. The background on this paragraph is that Augustine was taught in a forum where the teachers were paid from the taxes. So there was a regular, you know, paycheck sent to the tutors, whether they had a lot of students or few students. But the tutors also charged extra fees from the pupils. And the idea of the forum being a place where you learned to deceive people, learned to craft through eloquence and argument that would tend to influence people, that was what Augustine was trained to do. And he saw it as a sad enterprise later in life, but he also saw it in his youth as something that was extremely powerful. He really wanted to do this. In the second part of the paragraph, he recounts a play by Terence, and this play is called The Eunuch. Terence was a playwright, and he was producing at the time comedies. One of the comedies that he produced, which was a big hit in the year, you know, 40 BC, was a play called The Eunuch. And in this play, one of the young men falls in love with a young woman, and feeling inspired by Jupiter, who was the Roman god of thunder, who was the Roman god of that falling in love feeling, he recounts of the legend of Jupiter, who he himself, in this legend, the god Jupiter, seduces this young woman, Danae, through a shower of gold. She's seduced, and she becomes his wife. And this young man in the play recounts that and says, "Such a great god, he rocks the temples of heaven with his thunder. And I, little man that I am, should I not do as he did? I did so, and with pleasure." And so, of course, in the play, he seduces the young woman, being inspired by Jupiter, the legend of him, anyway. And Augustine is saying, this is exactly what I was talking about in the previous paragraph. We'll discuss it more on Sunday. And finally, paragraph 7.27, the final paragraph we'll cover. "Permit me, my God, also to say something about my innate talent, your gift, and the foolishness on which I squandered it. I was set a task that greatly worried me because of the prospect of praise or shame and the dread of being beaten. The task was to speak the words of Juno as she raged and grieved, unable to see, as she was, to keep the Prince of Troy from seeking the shores of Italy, even though I knew she had never spoken such words. But we were forced to go astray in the footsteps of those poetic creations, to say in plain speech what Virgil had said in verse. The declaimer who was most praised was the one who best brought forth, shrouded in the most fitting words, the grandeur of the feigned characters in their passion of rage and grief. What is it for me, my God, and my true life, that my declamation was applauded over that of so many of the pupils of my age and in my class? Is all this not smoke and wind? Was there nothing else on which to exercise my talent and my tongue? Your praises, Lord, your praises through your scriptures would have trellised the young vines of my heart, and foolish nonsense would not have snatched at it. Vile prey for winged scavengers. there is more than one way for man to pay homage to fallen angels. That's such a sad thought. He's thinking back on how he won this prize to be able to recount the story of Juno that Virgil wrote, and how he won the prize, and yet it was all in the pursuit of memorizing a story that had nothing to do with the Lord, nothing that would have profited his soul. And he says, was there nothing else on which to exercise my talent and my tongue? I'm going to relay a personal experience from when I was a fighter pilot to add a little bit of color to how Augustine must have felt. And I look forward to talking to y'all on Sunday. Be safe. God willing. See you Sunday.